Hello out there in Nile Land. We thank everyone in the studio. We continue in our honorable mention series, and the last mini-series we've had, subdivision, has been regarding the subject of hatred. We began by saying that hatred is extremely, extraordinarily destructive emotion, and we emphasized the fact that the evil of hatred is not just what it does to the victim, but the person who has hatred in their heart is so self-destructive. Last time we spoke about there's actually a virtue to hatred. Sometimes, when people do things which are truly evil, there has to be an emotion, there has to be hatred against it. Because if you just love all the time, then what worth is there of love if everything is love? How can you hate evil? Pardon me, how can you love good and not hate its opposite? If you don't hate the opposite, then love itself has no meaning. All right. Now we're going to continue this for just 1 second, then we'll move on to the obvious segue to all of this, which is Lashon Hara, evil speech. The continuation of what we've been discussing till now will be, as far as hatred when it is permissible, there are plenty of verses within the Torah, Neviim and Ksuvim, that, like we know, the famous one from Koheles, a time for killing and a time for healing, a time for throwing stones and a time for gathering stones. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. So, when is the appropriate time for hating? And against whom should this hatred be directed? The Torah teaches us that it is appropriate to hate people who hate God, and we'll expand upon this. And today, this will also mean you have to hate people who hatch evil plots. It is appropriate to hate people who bear false witness. It's appropriate to hate people who incite brothers to quarrel, people who cheat. And here's the pasuk from Devarim, I'll read this in English. You must have completely honest weights and completely honest measures. If you are to endure long on the soil that the Lord your God has given you. For everyone who does these things, everyone who deals dishonestly, is abhorrent to the Lord your God. And so, therefore, if you're going to be dishonest, God opposes this very much, indeed he despises it. Two other points. There are times that it says in Tehillim regarding evil, you who love the Lord, hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Secondly, those who hate God, I hate those who hate you. So says David HaMelech. So there's a Talmudic passage which teaches that it is appropriate to hate a Jewish sinner. Someone who does, for example, an immoral act. It's appropriate. What is the appropriate reaction when you see someone who brazenly violates the word of God? It should be one of hatred. There's a command to hate such a person. But the Chaznish pointed out that nowadays, when God's conduct is less manifest as it was in the past, there's no such thing as apikorsim anymore. People don't know better. He labeled as tinogo shenishbu. These were akin, analogous to children who were raised by non-Jews and don't know any better. So these people ruled the Chaznish, and everyone subsequently, based on the Chaznish, it is not appropriate to hate them. It would be appropriate to despise their acts, but not the people themselves, for they know no better. However, one last thing, and that is, in the 20th century in particular, and I hope this doesn't continue in the 21st century, we have to be aware of the fact that the two powerful political movements that hated God brought about the greatest evil ever. That is Nazism and communism. Hitler declared, quote, Asiatic God tyrant of the Jews and his life-denying Ten Commandments. So he right away connects that his hatred of the Jew connects with their connection to God. And Lenin said nothing any different. Said Lenin, I hate God as I do my personal enemies. And we have to realize that consistently throughout history, those who've hated God have been at the forefront of those who've hated Jews. But it could be also those who think they're close to God and will also, people invoke God in their as a reason for their hatred. They advocate evil behavior. So-called religious people do evil in God's name for unbelievable cruelties. Comes to mind, of course, the Crusaders, the Inquisitors. And how about Muslim terrorists who invoke Allah Akbar, how great God is, Al-Qaeda and Hamas. They'll murder innocent people in the name of God. Okay, we're finally done with hatred, and we're going to move on to Lashon Hara. Now, I'm sure everyone in the audience is well familiar with the prohibition to speak evil to slander, to besmirch. So we're going to try and analyze today, the source of the main part of our class, is to analyze the unfair aspects. There are things we know. Most people, if you ask them, why is Lashon Hara forbidden? Why are you not allowed to speak bad about someone? They'll tell you because the Torah says it's forbidden. I want to try and explain, and this is based on a pretty brilliant exposition by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin, the unfairness of Lashon Hara. We're going to delve into aspect by aspect, but just by remember the fact, Lashon Hara by definition means true. So people think that's defense. Now, fact of the matter is, in American civil court, you will be absolved from slander by saying it was true. But by saying it's true according to Jewish law is an admission of guilt. That's the definition of Lashon Hara. It is mean-spirited truthfulness. You're saying something which is truthful to denigrate someone else. That's the definition, and it's inherently unfair. The fact of the matter is that you say it when someone's not around. And it's so unjust. It's not fair because the person's not there to defend themselves. If you're looking around to see if the person's there when you're going to say this Lashon Hara, once you turn your shoulder, that means whatever you're about to say shouldn't be said. If you wouldn't say it in their presence, certainly, certainly not say it when they're not around. It's not fair. It's mean-spirited truth. Okay, let's try and analyze some of the aspects of Lashon Hara, a forbidden speech. The Torah calls it Lo selech rachil ba'amecha. You're not allowed to go as a rochel. Rochel is a peddler. And there is a peddler mentality to most gossips. If we reveal something intimate about someone, which is negative, and the way we say it, what we're doing is, it could be information that we received in confidence, so we expect something to get back from the other person. Something like we reveal something about, some intimate detail about someone, which is negative, so expect them to recompense us by telling us something negative about someone else that was told to them in confidence. We're peddling one intimacy for another. The Rambam refers to someone who speaks Lashon Hara as a meragel, as a spy. Now, just as spies pretend to be loyal citizens, what they do is they procure information that can be used to damage someone's reputation. Just like a spy will go out and reveal the secrets which will be so damaging to the country he's spying about, likewise, that is what a meragel does. That's one who speaks Lashon Hara. They're trying to damage the person's reputation, causing them to be defenseless. Needless to say, one who speaks Lashon Hara also violates the commandment of to love your neighbor as yourself. And because most people, I mean, this will go for every person, no one wants damaging information about themselves to be shared with others. So clearly, whoever does this has violated the golden rule and clearly violates the rule of loving your neighbor as yourself. You don't want someone bad to speak bad about you. Why are you speaking bad about someone else? Now, what is it? If you entered a room and heard people talking about us, about yourself, what is the thing that we'd least like them to be speaking about? It's always two things. The two things a person least wants to hear about themselves are one, character flaws, and intimate details of social life. Most people gossip about precisely these two items, the things you'd like least to hear about yourself. Gossips also violate the commandments, which we spoke about a lot in the Aleh, to judge a fellow person justly and fairly, to be tzedek tishpot, to judge fairly. So the Torah says, and the Gemara Darshan, cursed is the one who strikes his fellow man in secret. That's in the admonition in Devarim. What does it mean, curses the man who strikes someone in secret? Says the Gemara, this refers to Lashon Hara. And Rashi quotes this. One of the greatest evils of Lashon Hara is because it's not done in the person's presence, the person is not able to defend himself. Now, an obvious lesson here is that parents should discourage their children from speaking Lashon Hara about each other. Now, obviously, if a child has been bullied, you have to tell a parent. But as a rule, a parent has to always discourage tattletaling. And not hear, even though a parent feels that they're the one in charge and they're the referee, you don't want to hear something that's wrong. We don't need a better example than Yosef and his brothers. He kept bringing back an evil report about them, and they despised him. They nearly killed him. So you don't want to encourage children ever to say Lashon Hara. And it's very difficult. Nature is to speak bad. That's, we're raised, there are gossip columns, that's what politicians do all the time. We're raised in this, it's wrong. And the healthiest way to get away from it is, even as a child, to realize that evil speech is inappropriate. Furthermore, there's nothing probably more responsible for families coming apart and a wedge being driven between families that then split apart than Lashon Hara. It's true information, but it's damaging. It's mean-spirited. It's not fair. And families become irrevocably distanced And who wants to have a family which is so distant from each other? The Torah tells us there's a mitzvah zechor, there's a positive command to remember what happened to Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe. Now, if you read the story in the Torah, it doesn't seem all that terrible what she said. It really doesn't seem so terrible. And yet, the Torah says there's a positive commandment to dwell upon and think on a daily basis of the evil that Miriam did. So it can't be so inconsequential. And I'm going to quote the verse in English because, remember what the Lord your God did unto Miriam by the way she came out of Mitzrayim. What's very clear from this verse is not only is the damage done about the person who was gossiped about, but God is also damaged. Picture a parent. A parent is so hurt when someone speaks bad about their children. God is our Father, and He cares about when something... You're hurting God. Remember what Miriam did. She did bad to Moshe, her brother, but she also did bad to God. We don't want to denigrate one another. Needless to say, Lashon Hara does incalculable damage to the good name of the person being discussed. There was, I think under President Reagan, there was a cabinet minister named Reagan, spelled a little differently, who was, because of all kinds of innuendo, was accused of all kinds of inappropriate and inappropriate business dealings. And he had a court case, and it cost him over $1 million to defend himself. In the end, he was exonerated, he was proved innocent, and a reporter asked him, now what do you think? And he said to them, where can I go to get my reputation back? Albeit the court ruled he was innocent, not guilty, I should say, ruled him as not guilty, yet his reputation was sullied. How do you ever get back your reputation once you are a victim of Lashon Hara? There is no better example than the one that is quoted in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. One person spoke Lashon Hara about someone else, against a rabbi. The person afterwards realized he did something terribly wrong. He said, Rabbi, I have to ask your forgiveness. I spoke bad about you. What can I do to acquire your forgiveness? He said, very simple. Just do me one favor. One favor? Just one favor. I'd like you to take a pillow, a feather pillow, and go up on top of a hill and cut it open, let the feathers fly free. That's what you want me to do? Yes, indeed, that's what I want you to do. Okay, I'll do it. He took a feather pillow, went atop the mountain, cut open the pillow, and all the feathers dispersed in the wind. He said, Rabbi, I've done it. Do you forgive me now? So Rabbi said, you know what? Just one more thing. What is that? I want you to go gather the feathers. The feathers, they blew out in the wind. I can't. They're gone. Rabbi said, that's Lashon Hara. Once you let it out, it's gone. If you have an evil thought about someone, it's not virtuous, but it's still in your head. Once you've said the words, they're out. You cannot retract them. An even more dangerous example is a telephone, and even worse, is the internet. Once you let something out, it's gone. Rabbi Joseph Lushkin tells a story about someone he knows who someone sent in an email disparaging comments about someone's spouse. And by error, instead of just sending it to the person he intended to, by error he put it on his email list and went out to his entire list, these disparaging comments, and the damage was done. Now what do you do? Think about that for a moment. Now what do? I made a mistake. It's out there. The damage is done. If you say Lashon Hara about someone, most likely the people here will repeat it, tell it to other people, and it's an ever-expanding circle of harm. That's why there's a clever idea that they put next to their phone, you can put it next to your computer, a sign not to speak Lashon Hara. Some people put a picture of the Chafetz Chaim to remind them. This is a very dangerous vehicle. It's a dangerous kli, a dangerous utensil, the telephone, the internet. It can be used for very good, it can be used for very bad. One thing you don't want to put onto the internet, you don't want to put onto the phone, is Lashon Hara. So it's a good idea. Put a sign, don't speak Lashon Hara. Put up a picture of the Chafetz Chaim, a reminder that while you're on this, these are dangerous wires. You don't want to do something that should be so destructive. Okay, another part of the iniquity of Lashon Hara, which we've already dwelt upon a little bit, is its unfairness. When you speak bad about someone, this becomes the initial association we have with this person. Likewise, and we'll talk about this probably the next time we get together, you say about, Sam, they're just a fine person. I really admire them. There's just one thing about them which is inappropriate. And what do people talk about for the next 15 minutes? Even though you said you like them, they're a fine person. That one thing which annoys you. It's unfair. And we want to talk about fair speech, not things which are unfair. The philosopher Bertrand Russell once put it, nobody ever gossips about other people's secret virtues. People like to speak about people's foibles. Now, when you damage someone's reputation, what happens is that you deny a person the ability to... The victim now is never able to portray their good aspects. That's why the rabbis look at speaking Lashon Hara as extremely serious offense. You've done something which is innately very, very unfair. And there's very good examples of history. I'm going to read you an example. We just have a few minutes left. An analogy from the Chafetz Chaim. What happened was the following. There was in a community of England, there was a rabbi who was the rabbi in a pulpit in a small community, and the presence of this community treated him with contempt. It was never fair to him. And then on one occasion, the president needed the rabbi's help. What happened was that the president of the synagogue, his daughter, was about to marry a non-Jew. He asked the rabbi, could you please intercede and try and convince my daughter not to marry this non-Jew? So the rabbi tried, but he failed. And the president said with a sneer, you know, even one time he asked you to help me, even this you can't do for me? And the rabbi, who was a disciple of Chafetz Chaim, related the following parable, and I'm going to quote this to you from Rabbi Finkelman's book. In a certain province, a terrible epidemic that affected only children broke out. The doctors had no remedy, and many children died. Then one day a doctor appeared who claimed to have a cure. He started administering a potion to children, and to everyone's amazement, it cured each child who received it. The doctor went from town to town administering the potion, and wherever he went, long lines of parents lined up to see him. One day, however, as he was traveling between towns, a band of highway robbers attacked him. They stole the doctor's money, took his suitcases, and told him to flee for his life. The man ran away, leaving behind his potions and equipment to make them. When the thieves opened the suitcase and found inside only clothing, some equipment, and a few jars containing medicine, they threw the suitcases along with their contents into the ocean. The doctor arrived at the next town with nothing more than the clothes on his back. The following morning, he went to the office that had been set up for him, and there was a long line of children and parents who awaited him. The doctor called in the first parent and said to him, I don't want to make a public announcement and create a mass panic, but something awful happened to me. And I want you to go out and start passing the word to others. To my great regret, I have no potion with me. Last night, a gang of thieves attacked me while I was coming here, and stole both the potion and the equipment I have for making it. It will take me many weeks to procure new equipment and to produce a new supply of potion. Unfortunately, by then it will be too late to help any of the children who are suffering from this disease. The father paled and grasped onto a pole to keep from collapsing. He knew all about those highwaymen. He had sent them. He was their leader. Unwittingly, he and his men had thrown into the ocean the very materials that could have saved his child's life. So, teaches the Chafetz Chaim, this is what the rabbi said in England. He said that when you speak bad about a rabbi, you speak bad about, in that case, this rabbi, you steal the tools of the potions, and now everyone will disregard his words. In other words, you are to blame. You took away my power. And now you want me, my daughter, to listen to me? You said I have no credence, that I'm not a scholar. If that's the case, how can anyone ever listen to what I have to say? That was the lesson the Chafetz Chaim taught.